Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith as it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. So in the last episode, we spoke about minor and major sins, again touching on the theme of forgiveness, and also discussing in detail about tawbah and repentance and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this episode, we are moving on to something slightly different in a new chapter which we haven't touched on before, which is Surah Al-A'raf. And we're going to head over to verse number 126, verse number 126, and we are going to explore another story from the Quran from an individual, from a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, whose story is mentioned throughout the entire Quran. In fact, he is a prophet whose story is mentioned the most amount of times in the whole Quran. Right? Who is that prophet? It's none other than Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam's story, as I just mentioned, it's mentioned, you know, in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's in Surah Al-Qasas, you'll find it in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah Taha as well. And again, another surah is this one, Surah Al-A'raf. And in each of the chapters, you have different kind of snippets of his story and different accounts and different details of different parts of his life. You know, in some parts it's his birth and what he had to go through. In other parts it's mainly focused on, after he becomes a prophet and his dealings with his people, Bani Israel. Other times speaking towards the end of his life. Okay, so in this particular story we have his dealings and, you know, his struggles when he came up against the Pharaoh, Fir'aun, who we know, you know, was the biggest tyrant, biggest enemy of Islam. Allah mentions his story throughout the Quran, how he would, you know, slaughter and take the lives of innocent babies, you know, innocent children, and how he enslaved his people, and how he used to claim to be the highest lord, wal'iyadu billah, and so on and so forth. So now we have this, you know, a show-off and showdown between Musa alayhi salam and the Pharaoh. Again, I can't really go into the context because of, you know, the amount of detail there is in the Quran about the story of Musa alayhi salam. But, you know, remember when he was born, his mother, it was revealed to her that she has to, save Musa alayhi salam, because, you know, Fir'aun was killing all of the children who were born from Bani Israel. So his mother had to literally, you know, place him into a basket and, place him into the river and put her trust in Allah. He ends up outside the palace of the Pharaoh, the very same man who's taking the lives of these people. But, you know, Allah softens the heart of his wife, Asiya. Allah softens his heart. Musa alayhi salam ends up being raised in the palace of the Pharaoh, right? And, you know, so many other things happen. In the meantime, one of the things that happens is Musa alayhi salam, one day he by mistake, takes the life of an individual when he's trying to break up a fight. Then that results in him having to flee from Egypt. He's now he's now a refugee. The Pharaoh's men are after him. They're going to kill him if they find him. And so on. Now, Musa alayhi salam, in the meantime, he's been to Madian. He's received prophethood. He's now a messenger of Allah. And one of his tasks that he's been set by Allah, one of the commands from Allah is you need to go back to that palace that was your home, that you were raised in. You need to go back to that man, Pharaoh, the Fir'aun, who claims to be the highest lord and who's oppressing his people, and you need to give him da'wah. Now obviously this was a great task for Musa alayhi salam. This was not something that was very easy. That's why he actually got his brother Harun alayhi salam on board as well, who's also a messenger of Allah. And now we're at the point where Musa alayhi salam, he now has a showdown with the magicians of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh and his men used to claim that Musa alayhi salam was not a prophet, was not a messenger, rather he was a magician. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam had many, many miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to show to the people as clear proofs and signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Musa alayhi salam had a staff, and with that staff he could do many things. Now, upon seeing this, the people used to say, well, he's just a magician. Magic and sorcery is something which is very common, very popular in our time, which it was. Now Musa alayhi salam, he gathers the best magicians in that region. He brings them together and he says, go and teach this guy a lesson. Go and teach Moses a lesson. Now Musa alayhi salam has this showdown, and this is exactly what's detailed in this particular passage in Surah Al-A'raf. So you can read the previous verses. Now we're going to go to verse 1-6, as I mentioned, right? But in the build up to this verse, what happens is, I'll quickly break it down for you. So the Pharaoh's magicians, they come forward, right? They're all prepared, they're ready for this duel and this showdown with Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam has his staff, they have whatever they have, right? So now the magicians, they say to Musa alayhi salam, they say, look, do you want to go first or shall we go first? So it's revealed Musa alayhi salam to Musa alayhi salam that, you know, he shouldn't go first, he should let them go first. So Musa says, why don't you guys go ahead? You guys go ahead, you go first, and then I'll follow up. So what do they do? Allah mentions that they bewitch the eyes of the people, right? Saharu a'yuna an-nas, that they bewitched the eyes of the people. It was an illusion, in other words, right? وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, they came forward with some great magic, great sorcery. So it bewitched the eyes of the people. In other words, they were like ropes, and those ropes were made to look like, you know, small snakes that were slithering and moving around, right? So this was an illusion. Obviously, it was not real. The people, you know, were amazed by this. So now it's Musa alayhi salam's turn. So Allah reveals to him that throw your staff. So when Musa alayhi salam throws his staff, right, it's not now just some small rope that's moving around. A giant, huge serpent now appears before the people, swallows up, you know, these fake ropes and snakes that the people are seeing, right? And, you know, some of the tafsir books and the narrations mention how, you know, this snake literally had its mouth wide open. So it was very, very explicit. It was very clear, right? And swallowed it all up. And Allah mentions how, you know, the magic, the so-called magic of these magicians was made null and void. And the people were amazed. And the magicians themselves, they were magicians. They were skilled. They were trained in this. And they knew there is no way that this is magic. There is no way that what we've just witnessed before us was something to do with an illusion or magic. This is real, and this guy is real, and that means his religion is the truth, and that means his Lord is the true Lord. So what does Allah say? That these magicians, subhanAllah, they imagine just moments before, they were, you know, they were coming up against Musa. They were on the side of the Pharaoh, right? They wanted to be close to the Pharaoh, and they respected him, and they wanted to take Musa alayhi salam down. Now all of a sudden Allah says, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. SubhanAllah, these magicians, they fell down in prostration. They made sujood. Imagine this, they started prostrating now. To who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We have believed and we have faith in the Lord of the worlds, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, the Lord of Moses and the Lord of Aaron, Harun alayhi salam. Imagine now they accepted Islam. And this is a showdown. This is Pharaoh. This is his chance to embarrass Musa. But in fact, in turn, Fir'aun was humiliated. The people were witnessing this. Wow, what a turn of events. Now his own magicians have turned against him, and they're with Musa. They've become believers. He tried to take Islam down, and he tried to humiliate Musa, but in turn he was humiliated. And now there's more believers. There's more people that have joined Musa alayhi salam's side. Fir'aun gets so angry, and remember, he is a tyrant, he's an oppressor, he's an evil, wicked man. Okay, there's not a shred of good inside of this man, you know. So what does he do? He does something, you know, which was completely unprecedented, and it was something that, you know, shocked the people. And even till today, when we read it in the Quran, it's very shocking that he says that he promised as a punishment. Firstly, by the way, he thought that this was some sort of collaboration, pre-agreed thing that took place between the magicians and Musa alayhi salam. You know, he was just trying to come up with excuses. Yeah, you know, you guys were never on my side anyway. Maybe you agreed this beforehand, that this was all part of an act. It was all part of a dramatization of something. You know, it was never going to be that you were on my side. So he's making excuses. Anyway, he's so angry. He says that I'm going to mutilate you. I'm going to cut off your arms. I'm going to cut off your legs. That's what he says to the magicians, right? And he says on top of that, not only am I going to do this, but I'm going to crucify you as well. So mutilation and crucifixion, you know, just murdering them in broad daylight. This is what Fir'aun was doing, and this is what he did. This is actually what he did. It's very clear. And subhanAllah, these magicians, some of the Mufassirin mention how in the day, you know, when they woke up, they were magicians going up against the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam. And by evening, they were martyred for the sake of Allah and they died in the most honorable state. SubhanAllah. Right? So this was the magicians of Pharaoh. They accepted Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them for what they did and for their stance against the Pharaoh. Now, at the time that they were now being crucified, and as they were being punished and tormented by the Pharaoh, they make a dua. They make a specific supplication. And this is the one that I wanted to touch on in verse 126. What is this supplication? It is, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Okay, we're going to be discussing sabr and patience, as you can see from this word here that's been used. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. If you want to translate this literally, it's an amazing meaning. It's, our Lord, pour over us patience. You know how rain pours on you, there's a downpour of rain. They're saying, pour over us patience. Like, we don't just need a little bit of patience right now. We need you to pour patience over us. We need a lot of patience right now. وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. And take our lives in such a way that we are in the state of submission to you and we die as Muslims. Okay, the second part of this dua, we're not going to focus on in today's episode. We're going to focus on it later, inshallah. Today, I just want to focus on this first part. Okay, so the entire dua is رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغَ عَلَيْنَا صَبَرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. So this is the dua you can learn and memorize, inshallah. But the first part, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغَ عَلَيْنَا صَبَرًا. Our Lord, pour over us patience, right? Why do they make this dua? Why do they need so much patience right now? It's because they were being tested like no one else has been tested. No one else is normally tested, right? They're being crucified here. They're being mutilated here. They're being killed in, you know, the most horrible of ways, right? A way that none of us would even want to imagine. Some of you might even, you know, just listening to this, you know, not feel comfortable right now. And that is natural, right? And no one would want to go through this, nor would you want anyone else to go through something like this. But this is what was happening to them. So they needed sabr. They needed patience right now. It takes a great deal of patience to deal with difficulty and hardship and calamity. Now, on a day-to-day basis, we are also going through our own sets of, you know, difficulties and trials. It might not be on the level of these magicians whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored in the end, right? But this is what the Quran is. The Quran always gives us these extreme examples to show us, you know, the levels and where we stand compared to this. So what is sabr? Sabr literally, by the way, it means to actually abstain from something, to hold yourself back from something. And if you think about it, this is ultimately what patience is. You know, you're going through a difficult time, you're trying to hold yourself back, right? You're trying to keep yourself together, right? Someone angers you, someone says something to you, you have to be patient, you hold yourself back, you know? So you kind of have to stop yourself from letting, you know, loose, and you have to stop yourself from literally lashing out on this individual, right? So this is ultimately what patience is. Sabr is mentioned throughout the entire Quran, okay? And sabr is something which is extremely important, and sabr is something which is extremely virtuous as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that as-sabr diya, that patience is actually a light. It's a light for those who have patience. It's a light. Why do we need a light? In moments of darkness, we need a light to find a way out. If we're stuck in a dark tunnel, if we're stuck in a dark place, but the moment we find a lamp, the moment we find some natural light, you know, that is a source of hope for us in a moment where we thought we were going to be stuck. And patience is that hope, is that light that guides an individual out of moments of difficulty and calamity and hardship. Okay, there's different types of patience which we can break down into three. The first type of patience is patience in obeying Allah. The second type of patience is patience in abstaining from that which leads to the disobedience of Allah. You know, in other words, abstaining from sin and wrong deeds and acts. And the third type of patience is the most common type of patience, which many of us would first, I guess, think of the moment we think of patience. The third type is patience in times of calamity and hardship. Okay, so what's the first type of patience? It's patience in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Even in obeying Allah, being steadfast, praying our salah, being good to others, right? All of these things require patience, isn't it? Because it's not easy to do these things. It's not easy to constantly pray. It's not easy to constantly have, you know, and show and display good character towards people. It's not always easy to be steadfast, you know, fasting and so on and so forth. So this requires patience, and this is, of course, virtuous. And yes, sometimes it falls under things that are obligatory, but even things that are an obligation and that we have to do, it still requires patience. So no doubt we will be rewarded for this. The second type of patience, actually, many scholars mention how there's actually more reward in this, which is abstaining from wrong. This requires more, you know, going back to the literal meaning of patience, more holding oneself back, right? Which is, you know, you go out and you see your circle of friends doing something which is haram, which is unlawful, and you have to hold yourself back from doing something like that or involving yourself in this, right? Consuming a certain type of food or substance or drink, or, you know, abstaining from things like, you know, holding yourself back from lashing out at people, you know, being angry and so on, right? All of this requires a great deal of patience. And again, you know, like I said, the scholars say there's much more reward in this because it's much more difficult. And remember, the more difficulty and the more effort something you know, requires, and the more effort that there is involved, naturally there's going to be more reward in that, of course, right? The more difficult something is, inshallah, we're going to be rewarded more because we've had to work harder for it. Then you have the third type, which is, you know, when there is a musibah, when there is a calamity, when there is a difficulty, we have to remain steadfast. We have to be patient, right? So what does it mean to be patient? What does it mean? You know, you must have heard of the term in Surah Yusuf, which is sabrun jameel, a beautiful patience, right? Again, the scholars discuss what does this mean, and many of the scholars, and even in some narrations, it's found that sabr jameel, or beautiful patience, or one of the best types of patience, is a patience in which there is no complaining in it. There's no complaining. So we're talking about here complaining about the situation that you're in to other people, right? We're not talking about complaining to Allah. You're allowed to complain to Allah, but complaining about Allah or complaining about the situation and constantly complaining about it, right? This shows that, or it's a sign that this person is not really patient. Okay, and the Prophet ﷺ said that patience is at the first instance, the first strike of calamity. That's the real patience. You can't, you know, overreact, and you can't lash out, and you can't complain, and you can't like go completely crazy, and then all of a sudden, you know, after some time say, okay, fine, I'm going to be patient now, right? That's not real patience. Yes, it's a level, perhaps, it's a weaker level of patience, it's a lower level, but that's not real patience. The Prophet ﷺ said, true patience, the real patience, the best type of patience is at the first strike, the moment that news hits you, the moment you are afflicted, the moment the calamity befalls you, at that point, you hold yourself back, okay? And you don't overreact. In fact, you mention Allah's name immediately. You mention Allah's name, you remember Allah, and you have full hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get you out, no matter how difficult the situation may be, or no matter how impossible it may be for you to get out of that particular situation. So these are some of the types of patience. As for the virtues and reward for patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it throughout the Quran. For example, one of the famous verses, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin, that there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the patient, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not near the patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, you know, hearing the patient. No, Allah is with them. Okay, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, when God is with you, then you tell me, do you need anyone else? Do you need any other backup? Do you really need your friends and family? Yes, these are important. And no one's saying that you abandon your friends and family and you just try and deal with things yourself. No, you need to, you know, you need to find solace. You need to find comfort in individuals, and that's okay. You can speak to people. You can find comfort in them. You know, you can get advice from people. No problem. But ultimately, when Allah is with you, and if Allah is saying He is with those who are truly patient, then honestly, if Allah is with them, then there should be nothing to worry about. In another part of the Quran, Allah says, "Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab." Another famous verse, which is that in summary, the patient are those who will be rewarded to such an extent, and they will be given their reward without any account, without any hisab taking place, right? No hisab, no account, no nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward these people directly from Himself. Another famous verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And He mentions this verse after listing, you know, different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests individuals with. Allah tests them through their wealth. Allah tests them through, you know, sometimes the loss of life, you know, people who we've lost around us. Sometimes we've lost jobs, we've lost out on money, we've lost out on opportunities, we've lost out on livelihood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are all things that I'm going to test you with, but bashir as-sabirin, give good news and glad tidings to those who are truly patient. And Allah describes them, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا, those who, when a calamity befalls them and hits them, what do they say? قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is what they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that to Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. And you might be thinking, well, why do I need to say that for? Isn't that what you say when someone passes away? No. In fact, this is the dua. This is what you should be saying at any given point of calamity, any type of calamity. You know, you just heard some bad news. Someone's been diagnosed with some sort of illness. May Allah protect us. You know, you've heard about, you know, something to do with you, your family, right? Something to do with your job, right? Whatever it might be, any type of calamity, even if it's something, you know, small to other people, but it's big to you. You know, you heard about someone got involved in an accident. You know, you've lost something. You're trying to find something, right? You're looking for it. You can't find it. That might be something difficult for you. You say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Why? You're reminding yourself that ultimately, what I had, my friends, my family, these belongings, my wealth, it didn't belong to me anyway. Why? Because I belong to Allah. We all belong to Allah. And we're going to return back to Allah. Meaning that I was going to lose out on this at some point anyway, because I'm going to leave this world. And I'm going to return back to Allah. So my wealth was never really mine. I was never going to hold on to my wealth forever. I was never going to hold on to my family and friends forever. I was never going to have and hold on to, you know, my house that I own forever. I was always going to return back to Allah. So you remind yourself of the ultimate purpose in life, right? It's so important to say this. And of course, one of the biggest calamities is loss of life. That's why when we hear the news of someone passing, we make this dua. So Allah says, it's those people who they remember Allah at that point. When a calamity strikes and befalls, they remember Allah straight away. They remind themselves that they actually belong to Allah. They remind themselves that they are going to return back to Allah. These are the truly patient ones, right? So this is something that we should do constantly. Anytime we're going through difficulty, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hold ourselves back. We try not to complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the situation too much, right? We can complain to Allah. We can take advice from others, yes. We can find comfort in others, yes. But we should turn back to Allah and remind ourselves that everything is temporary. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servants. And in fact, He will test those more whom He loves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you more, then He will test you more. Because the Anbiya and the messengers, alayhim as-salam, they were tested the most. They had to deal with loss of life and separation and oppression. And, you know, they had to deal with, you know, their own people turning against them, their own family turning against them. They had to deal with fear and, you know, and anxiety and so much more. Because it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandoned them or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, you know, like them. No, of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them. And that's why He wanted to test them. He wanted to He wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to purify them through what they were going through. So the final point that I'll mention is, of course, you know, in terms of making dua for sabr and for patience, some scholars mention how, you know, generally speaking, you shouldn't make dua for sabr, for patience, in the sense that, you know, don't get it wrong, in the sense that if you ask for patience, then ultimately what you're asking for is you're asking to be tested, because there's no other way to gain patience except through being tested. And we should not ask Allah to test us. You shouldn't say, oh Allah, I am so close to you, and you know, I want to build my patience, so you know, throw some test or calamity at me. No, of course not. We never ask to be tested. But what instead of generally making dua about sabr, we make specific du'as like this. What were the magicians of Pharaoh doing at this point after they had accepted Islam? Is they were going through the trial itself. They were being tested and oppressed. And at that point, they were making dua, oh Allah, now we need patience. So if you want, you can say, oh Allah, if I am tested, then allow me to build my patience. Make me from those who are truly patient. Allow me to work on this quality. But generally speaking, we just say that you shouldn't make dua for tests or, you know, to build your patience, in other words. But ultimately, we all need to build on this characteristic of ours. We all need to realize the importance of this. And we all need to bring this into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate any pain and suffering and difficulties that we are going through. And remember this dua in verse 126 of Surah Al-A'raf. Amazing story. Read up on it and look it up more, inshallah. And until next time, we will be covering another Quranic supplication. But for now, that's all we have time for, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.